I speak in the name of the living, loving God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Those of you who were here last Sunday for the special choral evensong will have heard the Dean of our patron college, Reverend Dr. Callie Hammond, preach. She is the writer, as it happens, of a series in the Church Times for this year, where they pick somebody different each year to write about the gospel readings for the forthcoming Sunday. So I have drawn on her piece for this Sunday in my sermon, albeit briefly, but I will turn and read a couple of pieces quoting from what she's written for this Sunday in the Church Times. But I'd like you to imagine yourselves, pre-COVID days now, visiting an elderly relative in a care home and just observing the scene in the lounge before you enter to greet your loved one. It would, of course, be a familiar scene, with some residents watching television, a few asleep or dozing, and others happily chatting to those sitting round about them. Other than in age and numbers, perhaps not so very different from many a family living room, though through circumstances, they have become, in that care home, as it were, a new family. If we look around ourselves now, here, we see ourselves very much part of a family, though very few of us, just a few, blood related. Sons, all of us, sons, daughters, mothers, fathers, neighbours, acquaintances, grandparents, however we may be connected, we are here, if only for our common desire to be here on a Sunday morning. We might imagine Jesus looking down upon us now, as those in the care home, saying, "Behold, your family." A family. Church is often described as an extended family. So today is an opportunity for the church to be clear that Mothering Sunday is not just about the biological family, not just about mothers who bear a child and give birth, and their amazing role that we celebrate today with flowers and gifts and special acts of kindness, important as all these are. Today is deliberately Mothering Sunday, and not, I stress, Mother's Day. It is about a wider appreciation of mothering in the wider context of family and community. A day specifically to recognise that the family we are as a church, both with a capital C and a little c, through the nurturing love we are all called to give. We are a family. Following the example, of course, of Jesus himself and his mother, Mary, often described as the mother of us all. You probably noticed that Pete didn't open the gospel book. When he read the gospel. That's because I asked him to read not the text in the book for this Sunday, but the text from the King James Version, which has the words, has Jesus saying, "Woman, behold thy son." And he's addressing the beloved disciple, "Behold thy mother." And of course, "behold" isn't a common word these days, but it implies so much more than just to see. When we talk about being beholden to someone, it's about our responsibilities, isn't it, to that person? Beholden. The pew sheet version of the reading, which is from the New Revised Standard Version, which generally I think is a much better translation, in this passage has what seems to me a rather lightweight phrase there, simply, "Here is your mother, here is your son." We which doesn't seem to convey that same sense of familial responsibility. So Mary is standing at the foot of the cross in the agonizing situation of seeing her son helplessly in the throes of death, aged just 33. How can we possibly imagine her grief? How will she now survive, mentally and materially? The other women, we're told, are there with her and the beloved disciple, but she must have felt so alone, so abandoned. I pick up from Callie. The situation of both Mary and Jesus is pitiable. While enduring suffering is painful, it is not so painful as watching the suffering of someone you love while being unable to help them, like Mary. The situation of Jesus is yet more pitiable, for he has to look on Mary's suffering, knowing that he could have chosen to stop it, and that by refusing to avoid his calling, he was compounding her grief. How significant that one of the very last things Jesus does on the cross is to commend the people he so loves to one another, and so a new family is formed. And is this not what we are called to do as well? In Johannine thought, the beloved disciple can symbolize every Christian. The dying Christ commands us to treat the vulnerable as our own family. From that hour, the beloved disciple took her into his own home. And what resonances that has right now, as so many people in so many countries, so moved with compassion, are doing just this, with having those, in helping those fleeing Ukraine. And as Jesus right now looks down in agony in all that he sees. The response to the most dreadful tragedy which has befallen Ukraine has prompted us all to behold, yes, behold, not see, behold our son, daughter, mother, father, grandmother, great-grandmother, great-grandfather, niece, nephews, cousins, and so on, in the poor, blighted people caught up in that most terrible and terrifying mess. Not only to see them, as I've said, but to behold them and to be beholden to them, opening our wallets, opening our homes, opening our hearts in prayer, and if only it was so much more so, opening our country. Jesus, by his life and sacrifice, calls us to live in the way that brings life to others. It begins with a commitment to love as he first loved us, and is so eloquently set out in that beautiful passage from Colossians we heard as our second reading. Do take that home, read it again and again. Let those words sink in and seep in and absorb them. Be clothed, it says, with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, and all those other qualities listed, for living life to the full. For it is in giving ourselves to others in this way that we find fullness of life. We sung it in the hymn just now. And for those others, fathers and mothers, children who hunger, they must be fed. We would be caring, readily sharing, one with another, our daily bread. And so let us look around and behold one another, wherever they may be, in our daily round at the bus stop, in the shops, on the train, in the hospital, in our families, on our prayer list, in the workplace, in church, anywhere and everywhere. How well practiced we have been doing this over the long months of the pandemic. Now that things are reverting a little bit more to how they were before, let us pray passionately that we may hold on to this sense of community and extended family, beholding our responsibilities to one another, as Jesus wants for us all. Of course, what makes the church different from any other caring family or community is not just the common faith we share within what's often called the Mother Church, and our common purpose deeply rooted in living in community with one another, as did our Jewish forebears and still do our Jewish brothers and sisters so well, living in community. But as Christians, we are centred crucially upon the living and loving God, whose very being, think about it, his very being speaks to us of community, of relationship, of fellowship, of communion, of interdependence, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the holy and undivided Trinity. The Saviour who looked down from the cross in love, binding together those whom he loved on earth, and whose life and sacrifice shows us how to be, calls us to own our responsibilities of living as family, beholding not just our blood families, but all those in the wider circles of family, however we may draw those circles. Are we not all interdependent, all one family, all God's children, and all born to love one another? Amen.